Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, it's Rated G Radio, and I'm your host. Of course, it's Garrett Miller. We're live for the next hour tonight. And for the first time in ages, we're going to do a headline show. And really, this is a ploy to get you to call in and see if I can get you to help me with some stuff that I'm working on. I have an update that I want to do on my iPad. Why? Because my iPad says that there's an update available. So, of course, I want to instinctively go and press the update button. And for the first time in history, it tells me that I do not have enough, I don't have enough memory. So I'm going into my settings and checking everything out, and I'm kind of doing this multitasking. I should just give you my full attention and talk. I'm just kind of like, I'm conflicted here because I have all of this stuff that I'm trying to figure out from a usage standpoint. How much does it take to, you know, it's the dilemma of how many looks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? That's kind of what I'm dealing with here tonight. It's like, how many megs does it take to get to the 5.9 that I need in order to do the software update? So I'm deleting old podcasts. I would, of course, never encourage you to do that with anything that, you know, involved my programming, because, of course, there's probably other podcasts that you're listening to as well. But just in case, you know, if you've got something past 30 days, well, there will be 22 more episodes this month. So go ahead and probably delete those out if you're looking for ways to get some memory. I have about 3 gigabyte of stuff, and I've just cleared that down right as we're talking. Just in a couple of minutes, the show has been going to 589 megabytes. So I'm going to take that as a good sign. But I think my problem area right now is not games, surprisingly, because I only play Marvel's Avengers on there, not very well. Dragon Story, I've still got Angry Birds, I've got Bejeweled Blitz. I think I could probably take a couple of these off, but they're not any big storage horrors here. The big thing that I have problems with is my music. So I'm down to 8 gigabytes of music. So I'm going into my music library here on my iPad, and it's not an interesting story, but once I start with a story, I can't stop. So several months ago, I was on my way to Bakersfield to go see a client. On the way there, I had my iPad plugged into the car charger, and the car charger decided it wanted to smoke and scream and do all the kinds of stuff. Well, I've been having issues with my music, meaning I just couldn't get rid of a couple of albums of spoken word material that I didn't really need on my iPad any longer because my guest had been on the show. And the long and short of it was that every time that I'd turn on my iPad and I'd press the music button, it would always start out with this person's spoken word monologue. And I was like, oh, this is killing me. The first 300 times were great, but on time 301, it was just driving me nuts. So with the fried iPad car charger and a nearby Apple store before my customer appointment, I stopped in the Apple store in Bakersfield, and I said, can you help me out? So they got my cord situation all figured out, and we went through the exercise of trying to figure out how come I couldn't delete the spoken word album off of my iPad thing. And they had 2 or 3 people look at it, and they finally said, well, hate to tell you this, but it looks like about the only way you're going to be able to get this cleared out is if you delete everything and start from scratch. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. But then time 302 and 303 and 304 would eventually happen. And I said, let's do it. I don't care. So I wiped out the memory for all of my music, which ended up not being necessarily a bad thing. So when I got home, I began the slow-moving task of, well, what songs do I really want to have on my iPad now? Because here's the deal. I only listen to music on my iPad when I'm doing cardio. So I need it to be music that is inspired and has a good beat and is a fun song and is probably some disco or 80s pop-ish type of music. I don't want Enya. I don't want Kenny G. I don't want Christmas music. I don't want any of this other crap that's fine in 3 million other settings. But when I'm trying to get my cardio on and I need my blood pumping, I don't want to hear Oh Come All Ye Faithful or Silent Night or Enya's anything. So I started re-adding the music on, thinking I've added all the stuff that I want to add on here. And so tonight I've got, you know, at 1.10 meg of whatever, so I've gotten rid of 2 gigabyte, excuse me, of music. So I'm going on to my music section here on my iPad, and I've got songs from an artist called, for example, Rogue Wave. And I've got one song by them, and it was recorded in 2006, and the song is called Eyes. I've never listened to this song. I have no idea how it got onto my iPad. Nobody else uses my iPad, so it's not, you know, it's not like I've been downloading weird songs in the middle of the night or, you know, on Ambient or something like that. It just doesn't happen. So I've got tons of music on here, and I'm thinking, how did this get on here? I don't want this on here. What Mercury retrograde has been adding stuff to my iPad for music? Anyway, that's my little cross to bear. That's my first world problem today. So if, you know, that's my first world problem today, woe is me, trail of tears, my life is pretty okay. But I will tell you that it is one of those things that is interesting, and I don't want to say frustrating, because it's not frustrating, it's more interesting, because it's like, okay, I'll just go through, and it's, you know, there are a ton of times when I've got songs on here where I'm like, okay, I know I don't want to listen to that again, but I've got thousands of stuff. So I'm like, okay, it's just time to purge out this weird music that I've got on here and go from there. So anyway, I will do that on my own time and not bother you any longer. I want to give you a quick roadmap for the week. I'll actually put this out on Facebook later today, where I'm going to tell you who's going to be on the show for the rest of the week so you can plan your listening habits accordingly. Number one, Tarot Tuesday is back tomorrow night. Tarot Jeff will be back. I'm taking your calls for your free 5-minute read, where you can ask either what's in the cards for me or a specific question, and the time is up to you. You get 5 minutes. Wednesday we have author Kathy Porter, who I met at the OC Screenwriters meeting. I'm thinking it was the August meeting. It could have been September. The months just fly by. But she's the author of 2 books. We're going to be talking to her about her latest book, Earth's Ultimate Conflict. It's part of her series called A Gray Guardians series. And again, it's author Kathy Porter, Earth's Ultimate Conflict. She's going to be my guest on Wednesday night. And really a neat, neat lady. So I cannot wait to have her on the show. Thursday, we're going to have Dr. Shannon Connor. And she's going to be talking about flu prevention, wellness, and things that you can do to stay healthy during the holidays. We'll have her for the entire hour. And then Friday night, we're going to have Dan Ostiak and his daughter, Siren. I don't think her name is really Siren. I think the quote-unquote group is Siren, and I think that's Dan and his daughter comprising the group Siren. Anyway, they're a vocal guitar acoustic group, or duo, as they say in the biz, and they're going to be coming on talking about, I'm just going to call her Siren for now because I don't have her name written down other than Dan says, yeah, we're going to be there on Friday. But we're going to be playing her EP and talking about what it's like to be a young lady starting out her music career in the City of Angels here in Los Angeles, because she's, you know, from back in the day, I used to work, here's the real scoop, I used to work with Dan back at the U.S. West Home Office Consulting Center 400 years ago. Dan was a great salesperson and went on to actually be a fleet manager at Honda, and he's where I bought my first Honda Accord. It was the 1998 edition, where, you know, it's the really cool two-door hatchback. Best Honda I ever had. Getting rid of it was the dumbest thing I ever did. But if I would have kept it, I would have had about 900,000 miles on it at this point. So it's neither here nor there. But Dan and his daughter, Siren, are going to be my musical guest on Friday. So it's a full week. Next week, same thing. And week after, same thing. And so on and so forth. So just really cool stuff is happening here at the show. For Thursday night, again, it's Dr. Shannon Connor. She is going to be coming on again talking about wellness. I'm going to show on the show on Thursday a promotion that she's going to be running for an event she's holding on Saturday, October 25th. But I'll tell you now, so if you're in the Orange County area, I know Angela and Ken Downey are listening live tonight, so you might want to be thinking about writing this information down, or of course you can check the Thursday show page. But if you're in, well, and I'll give a shout out to Ken and Angela Downey. So Ken and Angela Downey, good friends, they own a company called Downey's Desserts in Costa Mesa, and they make high-end just because they're that delicious, but they make high-end desserts, and all the celebrities in Hollywood go absolutely nuts over them, and they're just doing really cool things with their business, and it's growing by leaps and bounds, and they're putting in all of the blood, sweat, and tears. You would hope they would, but they do it like that times 10. So they're two of the most hardworking people I've met. It's a pleasure to call them friends. But I know that they're listening tonight. So if you're listening, Ken and Angela, there you go. So Dr. Connor's practice is called Upper Cervical Chiropractic, and this is called the Family Appreciation Day on Saturday, October 25th. It says this coupon, so, you know, it's for, and I've got a stack of them here. So if you want one, just tell me, and I'll email you the equivalent. But you just got to call. So it's the coupon for a complete consultation, examination, computerized spinal stress test, and all necessary x-rays. It's valued up to $350, and this is by appointment only. So don't say I never did anything for you, Orange County. If you would like to have a free appointment with Dr. Shannon Connor on Saturday, October 25th, by appointment only, call 949-642-5660. 949-642-5660. They're located on 17th Street and... I keep wanting to say Harbor. I don't think it's Harbor, but they're in Costa Mesa. It's so close to Newport Beach, I even call it Newport Beach, but it's really Costa Mesa off of 17th Street. And she's just in a brand-new office. Business is growing by leaps and bounds, and she's getting new customers all the time, including myself. This is a non-paid endorsement, by the way, but I will tell you that she is really, really quite an amazing lady, so skilled on a whole lot of stuff, beyond just the fact that she helps your spine and neck in a very unique way that doesn't involve the traditional old-school back-a-crackin, where, you know, they jump on you until your back cracks and then you hope you find some relief. So if you are interested in that and didn't write this down or don't have something to write with, of course, just send me a Facebook note or an email, and it'll be my pleasure to get the information to you. But again, that's Saturday, October 25th. By appointment only, call Dr. Shannon Connor's office at 949-642-5660. Tell her that you heard about the offer on Rated G Radio, and she will get you hooked up. So there we go. So other stuff that's been kind of fun and exciting that's been going on, other people that have been having the opportunity to see lately include Kelly Fitzgerald and Brian Pothier. Of course, Brian's producing my new album. I was in the studio all day with him today. We'll talk about that in just a second. But on Friday night and Saturday night, I was at the Boathouse in Long Beach and had the great opportunity to hear Kelly play. And it's, you know, sometimes, you know, you go and hear the same band play over and over and over. One of the things that I like about Kelly, besides the fact that she's a nice lady and a good friend and she loves animals and is a great animal right advocate, is that I'm always learning something new watching her perform. And so I think it's kind of like my self-imposed homework. You know, it's the kind of homework that you'd like to do. My self-imposed homework is to go and try to watch live music somewhere at least once a week, and just to kind of see how the performers perform and how they prepare and what their style is and, you know, all the things that go into making an engaged performance for listeners. Because live music is different than going into the recording studio and having the benefit of auto-tune or having the producer say, no, let's sing it again. You're there, and you got to sing it, and you better do it right, and then you're 3 minutes and 30 seconds, or however long your song is, and you better make sure the crowd likes you. Otherwise, if they don't, you're not getting asked back, and that means you're not going to get paid. So it's fun to watch Kelly perform. I've seen her perform in small venues where it's just like a dinner crowd type of a thing. I've seen her perform on small club scales like McCabe's in Santa Monica. I've seen her perform in intimate recording studios where the sound quality is just breathtakingly clear and crisp. I've seen her perform in larger places. And each time you see somebody perform, and I think this is why I like to watch her. Number one, I know her, and she's usually playing somewhere local where it's not a big, you know, it's not a big event to try to get somewhere to see. So she'll play in Huntington Beach, she'll play someplace in Long Beach, and occasionally it'll be someplace else, but, you know, most of the time it's within, you know, half an hour or so from where I'm at, and to me, that's a bargain. But I can pick up on some of the different nuances and things that she does, and it's helping me as I either am writing music or thinking about how I want to perform music, how to be a more polished performer. This comes from somebody who is a 30-year veteran of you know, performing in public and doing things. So it's always an honor to see Kelly perform. So I got a chance to go do that. It just seems like the weekend was filled with meeting after meeting after meeting. Meeting yesterday up in Hollywood with a music mogul promoter. And without going into a whole lot of details, he manages some of the larger acts in the music business today. And we're talking about a variety of things, including where my music is going to be taking me in 2015. But, again, can't give away all the details, but it was a good conversation. I enjoyed that quite a bit. It's about 15 minutes after the hour. We're going to play a couple of songs by recent Rated G Radio Friday Night guest music stars. We're going to start off this one with a little one from Fontaine's Muse that everybody's been asking for. It's called Whole Wide World. We'll be back in just a second.
Stay.
that was Whole Wide World by Fontaine's Muse, recent guest on the Friday Night Dance Party. And since we're talking about a whole wide world and it is Columbus Day, there are a lot of people who are up in arms today about Columbus, and they're giving all kinds of different things. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of go through an article that I found off of CNN about what to tell your kids about Christopher Columbus. And it's like, is this really even necessary? It's what to tell your kid about Christopher Columbus. This is not like having a sex ed talk. And here's the bottom line. It says, tell the kids the truth. So here's the version of truth as according to CNN. The story goes that Columbus, and he changed it to Columbus because Columbus just sounded stronger. So Columbus had to persevere against, I haven't learned to read tonight. Let's start from the beginning. The story goes that Columbus had to persevere against the odds to get support for his venture because everyone but him believed the earth was flat. That isn't true. The ancient Greeks proved the earth was round about 2,000 years ago, and one even used the shadow of the earth on the moon during an eclipse to estimate its circumference. The problem for Columbus is that he was bad at math and worse at geography, and everyone with an education knew it. He failed to get funding for a long time because his calculations of the earth were on a small side. He thought that the dry land covered more of the sphere than it does, and he believed Japan was some 1,500 miles off the coast of China. In other words, most people knew roughly the distance between the west coast of Europe and the east coast of Asia, but believed it was filled with a vast ocean in which Columbus would surely die. Columbus was stubborn. Despite all of the evidence to the contrary, he refused to give up his plan, and because he was so stubborn, he kept fighting for funding. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Kept fighting for funding until he finally broke through to the Queen of Spain. His stubbornness also, as both professors noted in this article, kept him from ever admitting that he hadn't reached Asia. For Columbus, the idea of a whole new continent and unknown peoples just didn't fit his worldview. The indigenous peoples of the Caribbean, however, were used to hosting strange arrivals from all over the Americas in their towns, according to the author. Their settlements were decades or even centuries old, built in part on transcontinental trade, and Columbus did not seem so outlandish. These were settled lands with rich societies, not, as often depicted, simple or primitive. That's one of the real tragedies of the story of Columbus, and probably the hardest part to explain to children. The complex indigenous societies of the Americas were decimated by exposure to old world disease, crumbling under the weight of the epidemic. By the time later waves of settlers arrived in North America, they often found wilderness. It was a new wilderness born of drastic population decline. Columbus didn't know that his voyage would spread disease across the continents, of course, but disease wasn't the only problem. Columbus sailed the ocean blue, not for the love of exploration, but because he wanted to access Asian gold. Instead, he found marvelous soft cotton, which the author says was far superior to similar cloth in Europe. He also took slaves for display back home and to work with his conquered lands. Cloth and slavery defined the Columbian exchange from the beginning. Despite all of this, it's not correct to simply demonize Columbus. He was a brave man, launching his ships into an uncertain fate, driven by greed, faith, and hope. You know, that'd be a nice name for triplets, faith and hope and greed. Maybe you have to rethink greed, I don't know. Like many brave men, he believed very strongly that he knew what he was doing, even though he was wrong about so many details. And it is okay to be impressed by his bravery. Moreover, his voyages had an undeniable historical impact, sparking the great age of Atlantic exploration, trade, and eventually colonization by Europeans. In a very real way, this era reshaped the world, the languages we speak, the religions we follow, and the foods we eat and the diseases we catch. We're not sure if this is a reason to have a school holiday, but it's definitely worth remembering. So if your kid comes home in the lead-up to Columbus Day, like theirs did, the authors of this article at CNN, full of praise for an explorer's bravery and vision, that's a nice place to start, even if it didn't really mean that Columbus, quote-unquote, discovered the Americas or figured out that the earth was round. He was indeed brave. but then explained that brave people can do bad things, and worse things can happen without any planning. That's one of the lessons of history. I think one of the lessons of history should also be that you need to be good at math and geography. I like that. But, you know, there are people saying, oh, you know, this and that. Columbus was, he was just a jerk, and the whole thing. It's like, it was 400 years ago. You have no idea what it was like. It's so telling us with your, and here I am telling you, but, you know, giving us your Columbus personality trait test and telling us that he's the worst person in the entire world is really kind of funny because, you know, it's not like he was the only person in this thing. You know, for all of the riches that he was supposed to get, as I understand it, and have been doing research today, his keep on this was 10%. He had to give 90% of it back to the Queen of Spain. So it wasn't like he's going to say, okay, I'm going to go, you know, sail across the world, and I'm going to come back with this boatload of gold, and I get to keep it all. It's like, I got to give 90% of it away. It's kind of like the European taxation system today is anyway. So I'm not saying he was a good guy. I don't know if I'd even like to have dinner with him if he were still around today, but I think saying that he is the you know, be-all and end-all or he's the Antichrist really are two ends of the spectrum that are just kind of funny. And economic news today. This is kind of cool. I like seeing this. I like seeing this until I get out on the freeway. Then it's like, make gas go back up to $7 a gallon. That would be great because that means less people are going to be on the road. But oil continues to slide, and it's going to pull more gas prices below $3 a gallon. Crude oil prices fell to multi-year lows on Monday, extending an autumn slide that cast more clouds over the energy sector but brightened the outlook for consumers who will benefit by continued slide in gasoline prices. Now, I was watching the news tonight, which I rarely do before the show, and they had an RV extravaganza somewhere here in Southern California. I don't know where, but it was on Channel 11. So if you're watching that, you probably saw it. So they were having this RV extravaganza, and they were talking about this one RV or travel trailer was, I don't know, like $70,000, and it was a deal, and there's sold signs all over it. And they were talking about the fact that the RV industry was hit really, really hard, as a lot of industries were during the economic downturn of the last few years. And when gas prices start to drop again, as they're doing right now, their business starts to pick up. But it, you know, it impacts so many other segments of the economy as well, having low fuel prices. But you know, if you've ever traveled in a travel trailer or have enjoyed that type of recreational experience, compared to living pitching a tent someplace, you'll probably, you know, opt for the you know, higher class of recreational living in an RV. Friends of mine, and I've moved them before, they're down in San Diego, Heather and Gavin, when I first met them, they had a big travel trailer, and it was a travel trailer that was actually built for Taylor Lautner of the Twilight fame. You remember him as the werewolf kid guy, whatever you want to call him. He's the werewolf guy. So he apparently had this deal with this RV company down here in Southern California to, you know, retrofit it, make it super cool, put the, you know, flat screen TVs in and, you know, do all this kind of stuff. So when he goes down there to pick it up, he didn't want it. And I guess it was a big stink, and it made national news of some note, you know, for about a second and a half. And long story short, Gavin and Heather ended up buying the RV that Taylor Lautner no longer wanted after it was complete and, you know, fixed up. So they had that for a while. And I think they've sold and got another one since then. But it was, you know, I got a chance to see this thing. You know, it had travertine floors. It had, you know, a 50-inch, you know, LCD TV. It, you know, king-size bed. It had all this stuff. I was like, I could probably just, like, live in this and be quite comfortable and quite happy, and I could tour the country. I'm not doing that, but it was really, really cool. So seeing the fact that the RV sales are back up again, I think for a lot of folks, when they want to have a different vacation or travel opportunity, this is a great way to go. Anyway, back to the article. It says international benchmark Brent crude oil dropped from dropped $2.15 to $88.06 a barrel, its lowest since December 2010, while West Texas Intermediate eased about 69 cents to $85.05 in intraday trading. It's a 22-month low. Before they all ended at $85.74. So if you remember a couple of years ago, you know, oil was trading at well over $100 a barrel, so now it's at $85, so it's gone down quite a bit. Behind the drop, Iraq joined Saudi Arabia and Iran's recent price-cutting spree. The key members of the OPEC countries are undercutting other exporters' prices and maintaining production or even boosting output as global demand is slowing and North America oil production surged. Brent crude is down nearly 24%, and West crude is down 20% from peaks in mid-June. Monday's crude oil sell-off pushed U.S. wholesale gas prices for mid-November delivery down 0.6% to about $2.24 a gallon. That should bring more relief at the gas pump, where U.S. prices are currently averaging $3.20 a gallon, which have already dropped 21 cents in the past month and are likely to drop an additional 20 cents or more by early November. So in about 2 more weeks, folks, you'll have some nice gas prices. 7 states, Missouri, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kansas, Minnesota, average sub $3 a gallon prices already. Arkansas, Alabama, New Jersey, Texas, Virginia, New Mexico, Ohio, Louisiana, and Delaware could fall below those levels by the weekend. The decrease in gas prices and what's going on with crude oil has been nothing short of dramatic, since it leads to pump prices we haven't seen in some areas of the country since late 2010. Motorists will be saving billions as holiday shopping looms, which is good timing. This isn't the best of times for energy stocks, however, particularly drillers, which are hammered again on Monday. Among the bigger losers are Goodrich Petroleum, down 29%, Halcon down 16%, Concho Resources off 7%, Chesapeake Energy off 6%, Hess down 6%, and Halliburton down 7.4%. California, I buy my gas at Costco now because it tends to be cheaper there than any place else. So I don't know where you buy your gas in the country. So I am sure it's probably cheaper than what I'm going to tell you, but this is the cheapest that I can find it. I need to go fill up tomorrow, as a matter of fact. I'm glad that we're reading this article, so remember to do that. I filled up last week, and it was around 330, I think 339, 337 a gallon. And the normal stations around where I drive by, not gougy stations like are up in L.A., and I'll post those on Facebook sometimes, but normal stations around the area are around 357, 355. So it's about 20, 30 cents a gallon cheaper going to the Costco for the gas. And until I have scientific evidence that tells me I should never do that, and it's good to wait in those hour-long lines at Costco, they've now got my business. I just make it part of my travel plans. Oh, I'm going to be driving by, my Costco, you know, because I own it. I drive by my Costco over off of Beach Boulevard, and that's the one that I'll make a point to exit off of instead of heading farther south and coming home. So gas prices are on the drop. We're going to play another song from this past Friday night's guest. This is Colton Renard, young man out of Knoxville, Tennessee. He's on his way. He's probably to L.A. at this point already. And this is, I'm going to play actually two of his songs. These are my two favorite off of his EP. And this is My Feelings Won't Change and also The One For Me. They're both short. So it's two fun songs. We'll play them both, and we'll be back right after that with top box office news and celebrity birthdays.
Got a lot on my mind. trust has failed us, I can see it in your eyes. Just take my heart, you can keep it this time. I don't need it without you, I'm dying. I'll admit that I was stuck in my selfish ways. Now my days I spent praying that she'll come back to me. Dear God, just keep her close, don't let her stray. Make sure she knows she did her better than me. I pray that you remind her I loved her, now I know my feelings won't change. I saw her, she don't know, she's too shy, she won't go out of her way just to speak to me. Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but baby, just maybe, if you give me a chance, then girl, you just might see. Got me feeling like my head's in a cloud, and I'm never coming down. She got me singing this love song all night long. About this girl, and lately she's got me in a daze that's so amazing. Want you to know that you're the reason lately that I've been singing. And when I'm with you, it's a beautiful day. Well, this girl, she's too cold for me, but right there with her, there I wanna be. Got me feeling like my head's in a cloud, and I'm never coming down. She got me singing this love song all night long.
Yeah, yeah, so nice. Just singing this love song all night.
She's showing me what I've been missing all along.
Now I'm not just deep, you can be the one for me, girl.
You can be the one for me.
The one for me, every day you make me sing, so come and be my melody, beautiful as everything. Girl, you got my head up in a head spin, got me up on cloud nine, I'll call it cloud ten. If you'll be my princess, I'll be your prince charming, singing to you every day like love song with no end. Girl, you gotta know that this is something more than friends, and I can't pretend.
She got me singing this love song all night long.
Yeah, yeah, so nice.
This is little Colton Renard, our Friday night dance party guest this past Friday, and had a ton of his fans from all over the country tune in and listen to that. So thanks for being part of the Friday night dance party. Always appreciate that. Two songs we just heard, My Feelings Won't Change and The One For Me. Big shout out right now to Deborah Thrift out of Georgia tonight, who is listening to the show live. Always want to say thank you for being part of the Rated G Radio experience, Deborah. Love having you here. Also to Michael Holman, who is a recent guest. I can't remember when he was on, but we talked about his book that he's got going on, and it's just doing crazy, crazy things. He's got a book called Resolve and Retribution. Again, it's Michael Holman, and he is selling this all over like hotcakes, and there's even a little movie trailer preview of it on YouTube. I've put this on the Rated G Radio fan page, so if you are on there and have liked the page, you can actually go ahead and see the little trailer. I think it lasts for like 90 seconds, but it's really, really kind of fun. And it's nice to see, you know, guests that are on the show have nice things happen to them. And Michael is a great guy. He's out of the Salem, Oregon area, and he's got this great book called Resolve and Retribution. It has to do with vampires. So the big question of the day is that, I said the big question of the day, there are many big questions of the day, but again, this goes along with my first world problem of trying to delete enough crap off of my iPad to do the software update that I probably don't want or need anyway. So, everybody's out there, you know I'm doing a new album of original music. I've got 7 songs in the works. 2 of them I am still working out kind of lyrically where I'm going with them, but they're making good progress. I'll probably lay down vocals to 1 of those next week, another 1 the week after, and so on and so forth. So that there's a whole big darn process that goes behind this. Now, it's the same process that I did with the 4-song EP, but with the 4-song EP, I didn't know I was going to be doing that. Hi, Eric. Do you want to come here? Come here, my love. Some little Eric. Eric the Mighty Chihuahua, of course, you see on Facebook. He's got his own fan page. He just walked into the room going, can I come in? You want to jump up on my lap? You want to come here? There we go. Good boy. So I got Eric up here with me. So anyhow, long story. You know, when I did the album before, I just thought I was going to do 1 song. I didn't think I was going to do a 4-song EP and release that out last October. Eyes Wide, of course, now available on iTunes and everywhere music is sold. So, you know, when I did the first song, Tell Me Something More, I just thought that was going to be it. And then, you know, 5 months later, I did Eyes Wide, and then it was becoming, you know, that was really fun. Then I did Fog, and then it was like, well, might as well do 1 more and release the EP. So then when we did That's Guess What, It's Christmas Time. So for this, I've known for a long time that I was going to do it, but I need to have the funding put together. I need to have the backers behind it and just have more of a business plan perspective versus, oh, that would be fun to do, because that's really what Eyes Wide was about. Oh, that would be fun to do. Now it's, I want to do things that are, oh, that would be fun to do, but can make some sense. And I can put this together as a complete package of stories and emotions and feelings and things that I want to do. One of the things that I did on the EP Eyes Wide was I did the Guess What, It's Christmas Time. And I did that because I did it for a couple of reasons. Number one, years ago I had 2 dogs. One's name was Guess, the other one was What. I know you're going, your dog's name were Guess and What? Yes, they really were. Guess was a Chow Rottweiler and What was a Chow Lab. 2 of the best dogs I've ever had, ever. I love my 5 babies that I've got now, but they were 2 of the best dogs I've ever, ever had. And I knew at some point, you know, wouldn't it be nice to be able to pay homage to the dogs that really started my love of dogs? It's those 2 dogs, you know, because they're the ones that started it all. And, you know, when they showed me how much love they were able to give to me all the time, I said, I've got to have more dogs because this is, it's, you know, so now I'm kind of like the crazy dog guy. If I could have 500 dogs, I would. I can't, you know, because it's just, it's not allowable, so I don't. But I love the kids that I've got. They're fantastic. And I wanted to do a little thank you to Guess and What for starting the whole thing and really inspiring a gift of giving, which is what they did all the time. They just freely gave their love every day for years and years and years until they both went across the Rainbow Bridge. So I thought, living in California, it never looks like it looks like in Wisconsin. It never looks like it looks like in Redmond, Oregon. It never looks like it looks like in so many other parts of the country where Christmas looks like Christmas. Christmas in Southern California, it looks like 75 degrees. You go down to the beach and you're barbecuing and you're hanging out. So that's what I wanted to do and creating Guess What, It's Christmas Time. So we did that. So when I get ready to do the second album, this album, still yet untitled, I've got a couple of working ideas because I've got some really cool things that I'm still working on it. I was like, I need to do another holiday album or another holiday song. So I've been thinking, you know, do I try to come up with a Thanksgiving theme song? Do I come up with like another New Year's Eve theme song? Do I come up with a Valentine's theme song? What do I come up with? And it kind of hit me today that I needed to do a song that was going to be Halloween inspired. Now, the song's not going to make it out for this year's Halloween. I mean, I haven't even written the song yet. Halloween's in a couple of weeks. And so it's one of these things where now I'm looking for inspiration on how to write the song. Because here's the deal. I've got to write the song tonight to take it into the studio tomorrow to start music planning and production on. So in another week or two, I can go back and actually sing some vocals on it and, you know, put it on the album. Well, I think I have an idea of a story that I want to tell. I'm not sure, but I think I do. And so I put the question out on Facebook. So I'm going to give it really like another half an hour. So it's 7:45 now. If you're listening live, which is great, go onto my Facebook page, and there's a post on there about I need to write a song. It's going to be about Halloween. Who should be my starring character? Should it be witches, zombies, vampires, or something else? You know, witches tend to be popular at Halloween because, you know, that's what you do. Zombies, I thought would be timely because of, all the zombie type of movies that are out there. And, of course, the vampires, which I think have now been kind of overdone a little bit. Or there's others, the other category, to throw everybody else under the bus. So it's like the werewolves, the Frankensteins, the mummies. What should it be? I don't know. But if you'd like to lend your vote to this informal voting process, you have about another half an hour tonight to do that on Facebook. So go to my Facebook page, not the show page, but my Facebook page, and vote for who you think should be the theme of the song. And I'm not saying that, you know, the most popular vote is going to win, but I need you to kind of sway me in your direction. So I need like a sentence or two of why you think I should do that. I've got some convincing arguments on there now, but I'm going to leave that up to you to help influence how the voting goes. So in box office news over the weekend, Girls Gone Wild. It's not that at all. Gone Girl wins again, according to the site We're Still Glad Exists, and that's called the Weekend Box Office. So at avclub.com, as widely expected, here's the article, Gone Girl held on to the number one position this weekend, crossing $75 million with another $26 million in admissions. But the big box office news of the last 3 days, or at least for those who study and write about such matters, we're talking about the folks at Box Office Mojo. That's everyone's favorite destination for ticket sale information and the primary research source for this report. Well, they went dark on Friday night. So they are redirecting all of their people to their parent site of IMDb. So anyhow, it's all back up and working again, which is a good thing. But Gone Girl, an admirably adult hit, as it's called, just barely edged out its nearest competition, the not-very-adult Dracula Untold. The first installment of Universal's monster reboot plan didn't exactly position old Vlad as the Iron Man anchor of the future mega franchise. But the film still did better than expected. They earned $23.5 million, possibly thanks to patronage from horror fans, surely disappointed by the utter lack of horror in the Dracula movie they paid to see. The third literary adaptation, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, landed in third place with 19.1. Also not a stellar intake, but plenty for a movie that probably cost, well, for the fake Dracula Untold. And speaking of Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.'s vehicle, The Judge, debuted to a very modest $13.3 million. That number surely would be higher if the film were based on a John Grisham novel, which, inexplicably, it is not. In a crowded week for new releases, the sex-lit adaptation Addicted, which didn't screen for critics, took home $7.6 million for moviegoers who can't wait until next year's 50 Shades of Grey to get hot and bothered at a mall multiplex. As far as independent film goes, the documentary Meet the Mormons made a very divine $2.7 million. On 317 screens, much better than the $939,000 for Kill the Messenger, which took home that amount at about 60 more venues, so about 380 screens there. Further down the charts, Whiplash, $144,000 on 6 screens, and St. Vincent, $121,000 on 4 screens, scored a victory for small films about unconventional mentor figures. So that was kind of fun. Okay, and I've got some more people. Okay, we got John listening to the show tonight telling us he's going to listen in for Shannon's broadcast on Thursday. That is cool. And let's see, what else is going on here on Facebook? I've got a bunch of people pinging me right now. So we've got, Angela says, thanks for the shout-out earlier. Deborah says, first shout-out she's ever gotten. Well, Deborah, just listen and I'll give you more shout-outs. So that's all there is to it. Ken wants me to do the Halloween song with all of the above and make it themed on roommates in a haunted house. That'd be kind of fun. Let's see. Glenn wants me to talk about zombies. Glenn's in Canada. Of course he wants me to talk about zombies. And Wabin Starfire Ray in New Zealand, or actually Queensland, Australia, bite my tongue. She wants me to do a compilation album of all of them. Well, I can only do one song, so we're not going to do that. Annie wants me to do all of them. Marjorie wants me to do witches. Peanuts Grandma says vampires. Dwayne, who's a pastor down in Louisiana, says the Holy Ghost and fire from heaven. Well, it's not really Halloween. More vampires, jack-o'-lanterns, and all of the above. So it's kind of fun. So that will be really kind of cool to see how this is going to play out, because I've got to do this tonight. So as soon as the show's over, I'm putting Eric down, even though he's in my lap right now, and he's going to go like, Papa, hold me all night. That would be just so much better. It would be, because he's delightful to hold. He's a great lap dog. But I've got a song to write. Big thanks to Stella Magnetica. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see me in a new Facebook profile picture. I've got a new neck. I'm not sure what to call it. I'm going to call it a choker. I've got a new neck choker that they custom designed specifically on a, well, I kind of said, this is how I want it to look. Can you do this? They did it with the color and styling of everything that I wanted. Also, a couple of bracelets on my left hand. And then a super-duper mega-mega-mega-mega-powerful magnet bracelet on my right hand. And I'm not a jewelry person, but a lot of the things that jewelry with magnets in them can do for you is very interesting. So if you are interested in having a piece designed for you, visit the Facebook fan page for Stella Magnetica. They are a jewelry maker out of Long Beach, California. It's a husband and wife small business, so I always say anytime you can support a small business, that's a great thing to do. But they make great stuff. And every time I go see their booths in Huntington Beach or in Long Beach, at the places they go, they've got people lined up around the corner. So they are on to something, and people really seem to like what they do. I've also got a really cool new piece they haven't quite completed yet that I'm hopefully going to have next week. So you may see another picture next weekend on that, should that play out. So I'll keep you updated there. And our last topic of the day, because we haven't done this for 100 years, and it's time to get caught up. It's celebrity birthdays. So in this day, it's October 13th, Ashanti was born. She's 34. They list her as a singer. She's an R&B hip-hop singer who gained fame for her self-titled debut album, which yielded the hit song Foolish and set a record for opening week sales. Before she was famous, she sang in the gospel choir when she was 3 and began writing songs in high school. She worked as an extra in 2 Spike Lee movies, including Malcolm X. Trivia note, she put 3 top 10 songs, Foolish, What's Love, and Always on Time on the Billboard Hot 100 chart within the same week, a feat that had not been accomplished since the Beatles. Her father was a singer and her mother was a dance teacher who sent out demo tapes to anyone who would listen. She also sang background vocals for Jennifer Lopez on the song I'm Real. Ashanti is 34 today. Happy birthday. Jerry Rice, he's 52. He's a football player, former NFL wide receiver who won 3 Super Bowls with the San Francisco 49ers and was named the Super Bowl MVP. He retired as the NFL's all-time leader in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. Before he became famous, he developed his hand-eye coordination by catching bricks thrown at him by his father. I bet that was interesting. He was selected to the Pro Bowl 13 times, and was twice named AP's NFL Offensive Player of the Year. He married Jacqueline Bernice Mitchell on September 8, 1987, and his son Jerry Jr. played collegiate football at UCLA. He competed against Drew Lachey on Season 2 of Dancing with the Stars and finished in second place. Jerry Rice is 52. Miss Margaret Thatcher was born this day in 1925. She actually died April 8th, 2013, about a year ago. She led the UK's Conservative Party from 1975 to 1990 and served as its first female prime minister from 1979 to 1990. Originally a chemist, she entered into politics and became known as the Iron Lady for her unwavering politics. Before she was famous, she attended the Finken Street Methodist Church and was involved in field hockey, poetry, swimming, and music during grammar school. Her tenure was marked by mass economic deregulation and the privatization of state-owned companies while she was prime minister. Her father was mayor of Grantham, Alfred Roberts. Let's see, what else? Associated with Queen Elizabeth II, who was still the monarch of the throne when she held office as prime minister. Margaret Thatcher, born this day in 1925. Paul Simon, I was just listening to him a little bit earlier today, 73. He looks older for some reason. 73, Paul Simon. Singer-songwriter, first known for his partnership with Art Garfunkel and Simon & Garfunkel, of course. He went on to find solo success with albums like Graceland. He met Garfunkel while performing in Alice in Wonderland for their sixth grade graduation and went on to perform at school dances together. They worked famously in the film The Graduate, which starred Dustin Hoffman. He married Peggy Harper in 1969, Carrie Fisher in 1983, and Edie Brickell in 1992. I'm hoping there are divorces between each of those. Paul Simon is 73. He was just in court with Edie not too long ago, I think, as well. Marie Osmond is 55 today. It lists her as TV show host. That is such a limiting title for someone of so much talent. Pop entertainer who hosted a variety show called The Osmonds with her brother Donnie. At age 3, she made a guest appearance on The Andy Williams Show. She was a hall of she was half of Donnie and Marie, a singing and dancing family act. She still is half of that. She got married to Steve Craig on June 26, 1982, then to Brian Blossel on October 28, 1986. After her second divorce, she remarried her former husband Steve on May 4th, 2011. That's weird. This is, that whole thing is just weird. I don't get that at all. Anyhow, Marie is 55. Happy birthday to Marie. Also celebrating birthday, Sacha Baron Cohen, Tisha Campbell Martin, Noah Crawford, Paul Pierce, and lots of other folks. So that is tonight's show, folks. I want to thank you for being part of here on Rated G Radio. Make sure you tune in and, well, number one, make sure you like the Facebook fan page. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. Make sure you go buy my EP, Eyes Wide. Make sure you follow the show here on Blog Talk Radio. You get an email update or a text update every day with the appropriate link for the show so you can tune into the right show and hear us live every Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Thank you for being here on the show. If you are a media mogul, studio executive, or otherwise wanting to throw around millions and millions of dollars and would like to invest in the next big entertainment empire, I'm it. So call me. Have your people call my people, and we will make it happen. And here's one more from Colton Renard from Friday. We'll see you tomorrow night on Tarot Tuesday.
The mic, yeah, it's been a minute, falling off ain't hard to do, man. He's staying with it, but now I've been renewed, and I'm about to get it fitted. Just tell him go and get the beat, you know that I'ma rip it. Now I can't get enough, everybody showing love. Hit a high, never coming down, it's like the hands they throwing up. Everybody calling me, talking like where you been at. Heard your mind got put in some sort of lyrical rehab. Well, that's true, and I'll admit that. Now I'm back doing it black and yellow like a taxi cab. Went to school so I could get more knowledge, but someone tell my mama that I don't love college. Cause it's nonsense, I ain't lying. Selling all that BS, but tell them we ain't lying. Rest in peace, some kid I used to be. And if you feel it, throw your hands up and sing it with me. Like, had a dream that I was gonna make it, so now have everybody screaming my name. Everybody who just kept on putting me down. Yeah, you're feeling me now, I know you're feeling me now. I'm so, so low. Now I got an army of fans screaming let's go. Cause they're feeling me now, I know they're feeling me now. Ever since I was a little kid, I had a big dream, vividly defined, but confined deep within inside me. So I had to let it grow and grow until this dream became a part of what defined me. But it ain't easy when sleepy teachers calling me cheesy, breezy, teasing me like you'll be gone with the wind. But now they see me briefly, cause I'm living my dream, and everywhere I go, people wanna hear me sing. People told me that I had no calling, now I'm up on stage holding my mic just smiling. Cause I'm grown and I'm back, little kid, where's he at? Everybody's got my words, yeah, they're being taken back. Cause I'm big and I'm bad and all the time, and I ain't mad. See my car, wanna ride, get some cash.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.